Now, think of this. A poor little country like Bolivia, the government won't take it, and the money changers won't take it. How long is that currency going to be good? That is the first time in my life that I can't even get rid of the money. Fortunately, one person did me a favor. Now, let's get to the spiritual side of it. I'm going to leave it at that because I'm not trying. What do they call it when you push something a lot? You have a horse, or what do you call it? Huh? Hobby horse? Yeah. I'm just sharing information with you. I want to get on to the spiritual side. But of course, this has a big implications for you. I hope you can reason yourself through. When that happens, you're not going to grocery store to eat, are you? You better have some seeds you can plant, and you better have seeds that can be planted over and over again. Don't get some of those hybrids. You get one bumper crop, and that's all you can get. You can't go buy any more seeds. So try to buy seeds whose seeds are the vegetables can be planted again. Right? Think.
They call them heirlooms.
They call them heirlooms? Get heirloom seeds and have plenty of them to plant and start growing now, because you're not going to harvest it the day after the bank closes. You've got to be having planted. And by the way, you need to live in a place where you're surrounded by neighbors that already have gardens. Because if all your neighbors are hungry, where are they going to go? Think of some of these things. Have some basic rice and beans. I told my wife, we got to go buy some rice and beans. She said, sorry, there's a rice shortage. You can hardly buy rice anymore. Good night. I scared me. I just found out yesterday. You can't even go buy all the rice. I was planning on buying a barrel full of rice. Yeah.
If you don't give them any food, they'll shoot you too.
Around here?
Yeah.
Up in the hollers, they'll never find you again. Fortunately, you do live in a part of the country where people are used to roughing it.
Yeah.
This is very good for you. They probably have a way out. When the stores are closed, they probably live far enough up there, they have some little foods and stuff. But in any case, you think about it, okay? Take it to the Lord and pray about it, but make some wise decisions with your time, your money, your assets. Be planning ahead. Don't get caught by surprise. I wish I could give you the exact quote, but you all have heard it. National apostasy will be followed by national ruin. You've heard it. Now, this is strange. I told the Lord, I can already see national ruin coming. I'm not even talking about natural disasters. I'm not talking about the judgments of God. I'm just talking about humanly speaking, we're approaching we're months from national ruin. If the Lord is merciful and gracious, I pray that you will join me in prayer asking for a few more years. I don't know how it can happen, humanly speaking, but please pray, because God does same things. And just out of mercy for souls, Sister White says, if you read, she says, we must pray for more time as we see the impending crisis. Pray for more time. I sent out an email recently. How many of you get my email? Two of you? Good night.
Well,
three?
I get mine
to
Jerry.
Oh. Okay. Some of you get it forwarded. I sent out an email to 26,000 people. And I sent out an email, and I got an interesting response. Some were saying, why should we pray for more time? Let Jesus come. The sooner the better. We don't understand. It's not about us getting saved. There are millions and billions who don't know anything. And if we move now, it's like life raft. Like, let the Titanic sink. I'm on a life raft. Let the other 1,000 die. Who cares? No, it's about getting as many people off the ship as possible, right? But if you don't pray for an extended time, you may not even make it to heaven because you don't love souls enough. If you love souls enough, you're going to be begging Christ for a little more time. And when we do that, then we can use our assets and put it into souls. And when we get there, you know, my dad had his farm all the way paid for in Illinois. Totally paid for. And then he was impressed to help God's work. And he said, but I don't have any money. I'm a retired pastor. My mother's a retired nurse. He said, I could sell my farm, but I need to live here. So he went and got a mortgage, and he put it into God's work and in South America, and the mortgage got paid off. He did it a second time. Now he's on his third time around. People have said, and I've talked to him, what about your farm? He said, well, I'm going to walk away from this farm one of these days, and when I do, I'm going to say, keep it. It's not mine anyhow. But imagine if it was all paid off, he said, and I had to walk away from my farm. I would die to think how many souls my farm is worth. I have no regrets. Yes, I'm scared. I go out there and I said, Lord, I can't believe I looked at the stars the other night. Lord, you gave us this farm and it's completely mortgaged. But I've put it into millions, reaching millions of people with broadcasting. Because they go down, this last 4 months, my parents went down there and they put up 4 TV stations in 4 little cities of Bolivia. He says, Lord, I'm putting it into money to reach people, but I'm scared. And Holy Spirit told him, don't be scared, it's in the best possible hands. So, breathed a sigh of relief and went back inside the house. Now, before national ruin will come national apostasy. Well, I was looking at national ruin, and I knew nothing about national apostasy. What does national apostasy mean anyhow? But what does that mean as far as Adventists are concerned? National apostasy is when? A national Sunday law. It's in reference to national Sunday law. Okay? When you actually pass into law a national Sunday law, we will have apostatized nationally. Okay? Not before. Not the Pope coming and visiting. Not other things. Of course, it's all pushing in that direction. But when it's actually passed into law, that will be the time when God says, okay, the nation has apostatized. This is very clear from Spirit of Prophecy. Okay. So I was saying, but Lord, national ruin is coming right away. And national apostasy is supposed to happen before. There must be something. I remember the story of Neptune. They were looking at Neptune. They found Neptune. And somebody, some astronomer, saw that thing there and discovered Neptune. And they kept watching it and plotting it. And one day they said, you know, something's weird about Neptune. It's almost like it's behaving as if another planet were out there. But we can't find it. But the more they charted it, they finally said, no, there has to be another planet out there. There is no way Neptune can have that little oblong thing unless there's some other body pulling it. So they begin to forecast, and all the math experts begin to calculate, and they said, we believe that on a certain date, in this particular point in the sky, there must be some kind of planet. So they aimed all their telescopes and waited. At that moment, when they're supposed to look, there it appeared. There's that little tiny planet. And that's how they discovered, no, it was Uranus that they were looking at. They discovered Neptune. Uranus had this little oblong thing, and they discovered Neptune, not because they saw it, but because they knew it had to be there. Do you understand the difference? Mathematically calculating, there had to be a body there at that point. They looked, and there it was. Now, I started saying, looking along this line, I can see national ruin is coming right here. And right before the national ruin, there must be national apostasy. So I said, Lord, I can't see it. I don't know where it is, but it must be there somewhere. And then, all of a sudden, I began to pick up information that there's been all kinds of meetings between religious leaders, Christian Coalition, Catholic Campaign for America, and Catholics and Evangelicals together, aiming toward putting 10 different suggestions to pass into law, one of which is a National Day of Worship. Now, unfortunately, these are not meetings that can be proven because they were not held on a public forum. They were held in very secret things. And unfortunately, the Religious Liberty Department of the General Conference, you would not expect it to publish something that it cannot prove. That would be irresponsible. I do not in any way believe that the General Conference Religious Liberty Department has acted irresponsibly. They have acted responsibly by saying, I'm sorry, we can't prove it. Therefore, we cannot say this happened. But the National Security Agency for the U.S. government coordinated the whole thing, and you wouldn't expect the National Security Agency to make everything in private and have it come out in public. And all the leaders of the different Christian denominations, and the interesting thing is, the vice chairman of the Christian Coalition is a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. He just went to the Christian Coalition over and over and over again just to watch, you know, just to kind of be a witness. And he became friends of the wife and the vice chairman. Suddenly the vice chairman died. And the wife proposed his name to be vice chairman, and it was voted through. And now we have a Seventh-day Adventist pastor as a vice chairman of the Christian Coalition. He has a name. Lane, if I remember correctly. I want to talk to him one of these days. We're going to try to get a hold of him. But he will not be quoted. He will tell you without being quoted what happened. But he will not be quoted, because if you quote him, officially, he says, I lose my job. You understand? You don't go to private meetings as a vice chairman and then tell a blab it to the whole world. But he's talked to several pastors, and he said what happened. They published a certain place for the meeting, and the day it happened, they took them all to a different building. Took all their IDs, had the meeting. He named all the people there. Some of the people that were there said they were using false names, because later on when he went to talk to them, they didn't exist. For example, there was a cardinal from the Vatican there. The name he gave, that cardinal does not exist. This is truly secret. And one thing they avoid, they do not say Sunday law. The Catholics have learned a long time ago that the moment you touch the word Sunday law, it's like sticking a pole into a hornet's nest of Seventh-day Adventists. So they do not use the word Sunday at all. They call it the National Day of Rest. Okay? That sounds pretty innocuous, National Day of Rest. Pretty nice. Couldn't you use the National Day of Rest? I mean, doesn't it sound good? Any of you tired today? Could you use the Day of Rest? Huh? We have a tired America, man. They're running on the edge, and any day of rest sounds good to me. And if you could have a National Day of Rest every Sunday, forced by law, where nobody could make you work, you know what? I could almost use a day of rest. But the religious implications are quite different. So, therefore, some of the things that have been going around everywhere have kind of riled up some of our leaders, because they say they can't be proven. You shouldn't be talking about it. No, excuse me. We've been watching Uranus. Now it's time to find Neptune. Now, the spirit of prophecy says very clearly that these things will happen outside of the public eye. And it will be through pressure, not the government passing on us, us insisting that the government pass a law. And so here we have all our religious leaders and Roman Catholics together insisting on the government doing these things for our own moral good, and primarily because natural disasters are about to come and God's judgments are about to come. Are God's judgments about to come on the earth? They're absolutely right, aren't they? But does the devil know this? Do you think